It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 86690 Red Eye. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Maybe. Should have learned your name by now.
I don't know.
Download our app today, our Red Eye Radio app, and if you can't listen to the show live overnight, then you can listen when you wish to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I just found this audio cut. We got to play this one.
All right.
This is from squad member, Representative Jayapal from Washington State, and okay. She truly believes that the people that voted for her are complete morons and idiots with this statement.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
All right.
Here we go.
It is ultimately going to lead to a reduction in overall inflation, but most importantly, to the budget that people have every single day. Inflation is like a theoretical word that economists use, but what families feel every day is the up or down of costs.
No.
By the way, she's talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, how much it's going to help.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if her constituents are even that stupid where they're not, where they are the ones that are part of that 12%.
Well, I would say that she definitely believes they're stupid.
Yes.
Don't pay attention to the economists. They went to college, and you didn't. You're not an economist, so don't use that word inflation.
Right. It's theoretical.
It's theoretical, and, you know, just because we're talking about the rise in food costs and the rise in gasoline and the rise in other costs doesn't mean we're talking about inflation.
Right. Inflation inflation is a theory.
Yeah, it's just a theory.
Right.
So it's like recession. It's just a theory.
Inflation is when costs go up, but that's a theory.
That's a theory.
What you relate to is the up or down in prices. Which is what?
That's
inflation.
Yeah. You don't know anything. So for you, we're going to simplify it. Up and down in prices. Inflation's a big word. So don't try and take that on. We have multiple syllables there. Syllables is a big word, too. Don't even think about syllables. Just think about the up and down in prices.
Hi, I'm cavewoman.
Let me give you an example.
I'm not familiar with these complicated words like inflation.
See,
these are theoretical.
When you go to the store, just dig the dollars out of your pocket and hold out your hand with said dollars and ask the clerk, how much do I get for this many? She thinks people are stupid. No. Inflation's a big word. We're just talking about the up and down in prices.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, when I say cavewoman, that is an offshoot of caveman lawyer from from SNL.
That's right.
Yes. These fancy words.
I don't understand your economic dynamics. Words like inflation. I'm just a caveman economist.
Those are all theoretical terms.
Theoretical. Nobody really believes them. It's like recession. Nobody knows how to define a recession. Do we really know? Don't call it a raid. It's not a raid. Now, when it's Michael Cohen's office, we call it a raid.
It's a raid, yes.
When it's Donald Trump, it's not a raid. They don't even use that word raid. Where did that even come from? It's not even a real word. Seriously, man. You know, it's like watching the proverbial train wreck, but it's the train wreck you've seen every morning, every day. You know what I mean? It's getting really old.
Can I play more audio cuts?
I think you can.
There is no organized path that I'm going down at this point. I've just there's some audio cuts that we've missed this week that I got to make sure that I get in.
Well, organization is just a theory. So why not?
Well, organizing a talk show is a theoretical concept.
It's just the theory.
What people understand is the ups and downs of the show.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
All right, so here's the audio.
The vice president.
Oh.
This one, yeah. Okay. We never played this one.
No, we didn't.
All right, here we go.
All right.
We know that we really are quite behind in terms of maximizing our collective understanding about how we will engage on the technology of today and what we can quickly and easily predict will be the technology over the next decades. So to maintain our position as the United States of America on this issue, it is critical that we work together to understand where we are, to recognize and have the courage to speak truth about what is obsolete, and then to partner to ensure that we are speaking the same language with the same motivation, inspired by the opportunity of it all, but then doing the work of updating how we have been talking and thinking about our exploration.
No one understands the language you're speaking. Huh?
Oh, my. I mean, just...
Why is it always about language with the left, with the far left? Why is it they are so concerned about how people talk and the definition of words? That's the answer. I just answered my own question. And that's the goal, is to let's change the definition of words in respect to anything.
Well, but then we get into, I think, explaining science. All right. And for this, I wish to play Nancy Pelosi. Explaining the science of climate change.
Okay. All right.
Here we go.
All right.
How can they vote against the planet? Mother Earth. Mother Earth gets angry from time to time. And this legislation will help us address all of that.
My God.
Excuse me. Want to bang my head against a tree.
Can I turn away from the microphone for just one moment?
All right, go ahead. All right.
Okay. I'm now back. Everything is fine.
Well, what's funny is we could be standing in the woods with those ladies from Earth First. They'd be screaming. We'd be screaming. We're screaming for another reason.
Yeah.
But we're all screaming.
We are governed by complete idiots.
No,
governed by children and idiots.
Well, she admits, you know, I mean, that at one point she didn't care about Mother Earth because she was wanting to dig to China. How dare you? No wonder your Mother Earth is angry at you, Speaker Pelosi.
We are governed by complete idiots.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid. And they get reelected over and over and over again. People vote for them.
Yeah.
Man, I want to drive through her district and because there's got to be the signs, right? In the yards? There's got to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I know her district. I know the makeup of her district. I don't know her district. I know the makeup, political makeup of her district. Not one conservative. But there's got to be, you know, beyond that. It's not just that they're going to show up and vote for her. There's got to be the people that are just actively campaigning for her. And are proud that they've got the sign in their yard. And I'm not just her husband. People putting Pelosi signs up.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you just play those two audio cuts. Those are the leaders of the Democratic Party.
That's insane.
You have Biden.
Just insane.
You have Biden. You have Schumer. You have Pelosi. And you have Harris. And we just played Pelosi and Harris. Idiots.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're governed by idiots.
I mean, it really is just beyond stupid right now. It is beyond stupid right now.
Which is why we coined that phrase, a perverted sense of awe. Because every day we come in going, can you believe this? Can you actually believe this? And we're talking about their explanation of the actual issues out there, or their take on the issues, or their lies on the issues. And you think about it with the inflation, and they're still promoting it. And there it is. The Democrats named their tax and spending bill the Inflation Reduction Act. Americans are not buying it. In the second poll that has been released, just 12% of Americans say the bill will reduce inflation. 12%. That's unprecedented since I've been covering politics. I don't remember ever a party promoting a type of bill and only getting that only 12% people bought that it would actually work. You would just get automatic party loyalty.
I would think that you in this, you would get 30, 35. Yep.
12% of Americans say the bill will reduce inflation. 40% say it will increase inflation. 23% said it will do nothing. 25%,
I have no idea.
The law will actually increase inflation slightly over the next few years. They wrote inflationary. They had it wrong. The Penn-Wharton budget model showed. So they're just now the last poll was just 20% of Democrats.
Yeah.
This one, just 25% of Democrats say the law will reduce inflation.
Wow. Well, politically, it's in terms of it being a win. It's DOA. It's nothing.
Still out there. We played Jamie Raskin. Being asked, well, what specific part of the bill will actually, attack the problem? Next question.
Yeah.
Just not going to answer it. They can't. Tell me anybody who has explained
there's not
how
a part
it reduces
of the bill that
inflation.
Does. Yeah, right, exactly.
You can't find anybody.
It does nothing. Yeah. Over and over again, they're handing themselves defeat.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Keep your engine humming in the heat this summer by keeping up with preventive maintenance. Think your PM is complete after your oil is changed? Think again. There's grease, transmission fluids, and gear oil to consider too. Clean gear oil, for example, extends gear, bearing, and seal life. It also protects against low speed, high torque wear, and high speed scoring. That means not only longer equipment life and reduced maintenance costs, but also improved fuel economy and lower operating costs. So the next time you plan for your oil change purchase, don't neglect lubrication and inspection, especially on components and parts that work hard to keep your vehicle running safe and smooth. Stop into a TA truck service near you to start or strengthen your preventive maintenance program today.
This report brought to you by Lubrifiner, engineering filters that are built to do more for heavy-duty fleets since 1996.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning and welcome. Yeah, so that's the Economist and YouGov did the poll. So it's not in any way a Republican pollster doing it. 12% of Americans say the bill will reduce inflation. 40% say it will increase inflation. 23% say it will do nothing. 25% said they're not sure. The law will actually increase inflation, as we've explained to you, according to the Penn-Wharton budget model. What, just one quarter of Democrats, 25%, say the law will reduce inflation, with another 33% saying it will have no effect on inflation, and 11% saying that it will make the inflation worse. Among independents, only 7% of independents say the law will reduce inflation. 21% say it will have no effect. 41% say it will increase inflation. Republicans overwhelmingly believe the law will increase inflation. 72% said it would increase inflation. Just 2% said it will decrease inflation. Who's the 2% of Republicans that believe it will decrease inflation?
Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney.
Uh, 14% say that it will have no.
That was an easy one.
No effect at all. This was in, you just reminded me, because I mentioned this earlier and I wanted to save this. This is a conservative publication, Red State, but it said Joe Cunningham wrote it yesterday. Liz Cheney is more than 25 points down, and it's about more than just Trump. And said it's in the 2 years since the 2020 election cycle, Cheney has devoted herself to the ongoing prosecution of Trump and the January 6th hearing. Her goal all along has been to tell America how awful Trump is and how he is a treasonous insurrectionist. She's made it her mission to try to convince Republicans that Trump is poison, and that is accurate. In the wake of her crusade, Harriet Hegeman, a former Cheney ally, is running to take Cheney's spot in the lone congressional seat. The primary's today. That's why we're bringing this up. Hegeman is clearly doing a good job of convincing Wyoming primary voters to do so. She's up 29 points. It would be very easy to say this is simply a pro-Trump versus anti-Trump and say, nope, not even true, because even CNN picked it up. In Wyoming, Hegeman is seen as far more than Trump's hand-picked candidate. She grew up in her family's small ranch in Fort Laramie, population 207, not far from the state's border with Nebraska. Before her fight with Cheney, Hegeman gained prominence as a natural resources attorney, specializing on cases protecting the state's water, public lands, and agriculture. Hegeman declined to answer questions when CNN caught up with her, saying only this race is about Wyoming and nothing else. The race, of course, has become far more, but several Wyoming voters this week said they appreciated the attention that Hegeman was devoting to energy, agriculture, and other issues of direct importance to the state. This reminds me of when Wall Street Journal did the interview in Harlem.
Yeah, in 2016.
And asked why Trump won. Well, Trump was talking about things that actually mattered to people.
Yep.
And Hillary wasn't. Liz Cheney is focused entirely on Washington, D.C., and as a result, she has lost the ability to connect with her voters. And Hegeman has a long history of working on the issues that are important to Wyoming voters, Wyoming issues. She has been on the ground in the state while Cheney has been preaching in primetime television that the 70% of people in the state who voted for Trump, voted for a bad person, and that Republicans supporting him were also bad.
Hmm.
She's actually going after voters
in
Wyoming.
Right.
And her focus is completely on Trump. And they're saying she comes in, Hegeman, not that it isn't about Trump, anti-Trump, because part of it is. But they said what puts it over the top is the fact that she's talking about Wyoming and Cheney isn't.
Well, I mean, that'll do it right there, especially in a state like Wyoming. And now we're seeing it. And, man, the polls show it.
The regime is in place. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, I was just thinking with, exhibition NFL season started, as we know, this past weekend. And I was reading that the Texas Rangers fired their manager. And I just, for a very quick moment, because I've told the story about a couple of people that I know, and this has to do with one of my old friends from high school. And it's just the greatest story ever. It is the greatest baseball story I've ever heard from anybody that I know. Mm. And my buddy Joey, and this is a guy I went to high school with, and he's the exact same as he was in high school. He's a complete sports fanatic, and he's a Yankees fan. And the Yankees are, you know, they're still 10 games in the lead, but they're blowing it big time. They can hardly, you know, win a game from what I hear from him. And he rants like crazy on Facebook. He goes crazy about it. So I never figured out, and I guess there are people that live in Buffalo, that's where he lives, who are Yankee fans, but he's like the biggest Yankee fan ever. And he told me this story he posted this story the other day on Facebook, that he and another friend, this is in the mid-70s, the Yankees are blowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the phone book. This is the most amazing story. They go to the phone book, and they look up the old Yankee manager during the Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig days, Joe McCarthy, who was the manager of the Yankees from 31 to 46 for the last couple of years with Babe Ruth, won a championship with Ruth and Gehrig, and then won a ton of them with Gehrig after Babe Ruth was out.
So somehow they get his phone number.
He's from Buffalo.
Right.
And he retired back in Buffalo. And so they look him up. He's in the phone book. He doesn't have an unlisted number. And so they want to rant about the Yankees. So they call up Joe McCarthy. You know, at that point, I'm guessing it was mid-70s, so he would have been 75 or 76. He died in 78, I believe. 1978 is when he died. So they called him probably 75, 76. And they're ranting about the Yankees to him. He goes, and he agrees with us, and he's so glad that we called. And so they're venting with each other, and he said, "Call me anytime," and they did.
Wow,
they were kids, and they would call him. And I went, "That's the greatest baseball story I've ever heard."
Wow.
From anybody that I actually know. It is a guy. He managed Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. He's retired. They're all angry. 40 years later, it'd be almost probably 45 years after, you know, Babe Ruth had played. This guy's retired in his home. He gets a call. The Yankees suck. I agree.
So you were setting up the story. You said, with the news of the Texas Rangers firing their manager.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, the Texas Rangers had a manager? Someone was managing that?
Yeah. The beautiful stadium, and nobody's in there. They had their lowest.
Was he actually showing up?
I don't know, but I read that they had their lowest attendance yet, like 13,000, since they opened it up in 2021.
It's
a beautiful new stadium.
Yeah,
I guess. I haven't been there.
I'm sure the return on investment is slowly getting there.
Well,
because,
you know,
I mean,
the sales tax in Arlington's paying that.
Yeah. They opened up during COVID, though, or tried to reopen during COVID, right? I mean, that was when that stadium finished.
Well, when they first opened up, people, because I know somebody who was at the first game, which nobody was in the stadium. They were all outside the stadium.
Yeah, okay.
Stood out. They were like in park benches or whatever, but nobody was allowed in.
Right.
So they were playing before empty crowds in the beginning. When they opened it up, yeah.
And the actual crowds were outside.
I know somebody that's like, you went to the game but didn't, and you sat outside.
Yeah.
I know there
are... Do they have televisions? Do those people have...
I have no idea. I didn't know. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember seeing the television report on the people that showed up outside. That's all. And I saw my friend. I went, wait a minute. What's going on?
Television report.
I saw her there, and I'm like, I saw you on TV.
A reporter asked a question. Yeah. Do you have a TV?
Well, you know, there are people that go to NFL games that can't afford to get in, and they tailgate outside.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't get that.
They drive into the parking lot. They tailgate. They have the, you know, their TV because every single game is covered now, whether it's sold out or not. You get it locally.
Man, I'd have to have, and look, if you're a diehard fan, I guess if that's, you know, enjoyable, I would have to have all of my amenities at home if I were going to do that. If you're going to go to a game, you go to a game. But you show up, you know, and sit in the parking lot. And
No. When I mean tailgate, they've got their tents and everything else. Yeah, they set it up. They put a big TV out.
I can
and
do
people
that at
will
home.
Sit outside.
Yeah.
Now, they don't do it in December in northern climates, but they do it when the weather's warmer.
Like, yeah.
I never got that. I remember going to an Oregon game one time where they had huge tailgates like that, and a few people, and most of us had tickets and went in, and some people were sitting outside watching it on TV and under a tent, and it was just the fans that basically brought the tent and the TV and in Eugene, Oregon, and I was like, wow, like, I don't get it.
Well, and don't you have to pay for the parking?
Yes.
So your backyard, you could do the same thing. Set up your tent, bring your friends over.
I guess there's some kind of excitement of being close to the stadium. No, okay. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's why they call them fans.
Isn't that a great story, though? It's a great story. I mean, I saw it the other day, and I burst, and I messaged him. I said, "You really did?" He goes, "Yeah." And he liked it. He was like, "Yeah, call again."
Yeah.
So they did. They go, "We called him a couple times before he died."
Yeah. No, great story.
It's like, I know.
Great story. Well, just call him.
The fact is, it is the great Yankee manager's phone number was unlisted. It's like, here's a guy, Joe McCarthy. Now, there must have been a bunch of Joe McCarthys. I have to ask him, were there like 10 of them and you called all of them and then you got the right one?
Right.
I didn't ask him that, but there's probably a lot of Joe McCarthys.
Yeah, probably.
Probably
10 or 12 in the phone book.
Just show you how things change, you know, how many people today, you'd have your cell phone, but I mean, how many people still would have their phone listed of that type of, you know, celebrity, because I think he won like, I don't know, 6 or 7 world championships, you know, for the Yankees with Gehrig.
Right.
Mostly with Lou Gehrig and then with Ruth, but yeah, that was just a great story. It's like, oh, God.
Well.
And it was funny because saw it the other day, and then I was just doing work around the house, and Biography Channel was on, and there was a biography of Babe Ruth. And it was like, oh, and then I just thought about it. I said, I got to message him about that story that he posted the other day and get more details on it.
Now, how old were they when they called him?
They were kids, right? When they weren't really kids, they probably were in their... He was a couple of years behind me in school, so I would say he probably was 18, 19.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, probably between 16 and 18.
Okay.
You know, and him and his friend together decide to, hey, let's see if we can find the old Yankee manager. We know he lives in Buffalo somewhere. Let's see if, because he was from there, Joe McCarthy was.
Right.
So they find it and they call him. That's just great. And she said, hello, Joe, are you Joe McCarthy, the guy that used to manage Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig? Yeah.
All right.
Can we complain about the Yankees?
I had a couple of friends of mine who were kind of sightseeing, and they came upon what they were told was Steve Miller's house, the singer.
Oh, yeah.
They went and knocked on the door. He answered the door. Yeah. They were like speechless. He dared me.
How did you get here? On a jet airliner.
Yeah, right.
Bad boo. That was a bad one.
Yeah. Well, not everybody calls him by that. Some people call him Maurice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's bad. All right. My best one, though.
Huh.
Best one ever. I'm in Memphis Airport. Can't remember why, but I was in Memphis Airport. Like, what was I doing in Memphis? I was going somewhere else. I think I was going to Chattanooga. And have to go to the bathroom, so I go to the urinal. I'm sitting right there, and I look down. This has to be 90, 3 or 94.
Mm-hmm.
I look down. I just see a briefcase that says Fox on it. Mm-hmm. And I look up, and standing next to me is, what's his name from the, the show where he was looking for
America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, John, what was his last name?
I got mine.
Yeah.
Apparently not that famous.
Yeah. Well, hasn't been on TV for a while.
I think it is.
I think it's still, is it streaming?
John Walsh. Yeah, I think it's on somewhere. I think he still does some kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
It was John Walsh. And I'm looking down, I look up, I guess, and I'm looking at him. He's looking straight at me, and I went, oh, you do a good job. Thanks.
Thanks. My mommy taught me this when I was 3. No, I meant on the TV show.
And he understood that I
nobody
meant,
complimented.
He understood that's, I meant the
thank
show.
Thank you. Nobody's given me that and compliment since my mommy when I was 3.
Finish up, wash our hands, and walk
good
out.
Good job.
I'm like, okay, that was weird. John Walsh.
I was working at a radio station, and it was at the job at, before this job years ago, and I skipped lunch. And I had just enough change to go in and get a Snickers bar. Now, I had been planning that out for like 2-3 hours. I just didn't get a break. I needed that Snickers bar. I'd been planning on that Snickers bar. Walk in the break room, put my coins in the vending machine. And I hear this very kind female voice behind me. Oh, you don't want anything in that. Here, try this. I turn around and this nice lady is handing me something, and it's on a plate, and it's like a piece of pie. And I'm thinking, wow, I just totally scored for free. She says, hi, I'm Jenny Craig. I'm like, are you kidding me? The one time I get blocked at the vending machine, it's the actual Jenny Craig. She was there to record a commercial, or a bunch of commercials, I guess. And she brought, for some of the staff, she brought to the kitchen some of her new offerings. I think it was a key lime cheesecake, lower calorie, low sugar or something. I don't remember what it was. It was very tasty, I remember, because I was starving. So I hit the change button and got my coins back and ate free Jenny Craig that was served to me literally by Jenny Craig. And I really wanted that Snickers bar. I really wanted that Snickers bar.
That's a good story. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you've never told that on the air, at least since I've worked with you. That's good.
Yeah. I don't remember if I ever went back and got that Snickers bar. I wanted it badly, though.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye, coming up on the top of the hour. A group of nearly 500 healthcare workers is slated to receive a $10 million payout in a first-of-its-kind settlement challenging the hospital's COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Hmm.
We'll get into this here because you and I were I don't know if we talked about this off the air. I know we didn't talk about it on the air. I don't think we talked about it off the air either. I know I talked to somebody about it, but it was after the CDC came out with the revised guidelines. And you and I talked about that you have many more people right now that are infected with COVID than you did a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, fewer are dying.
Right.
But the infection is still spreading at a greater rate.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time is when the CDC said, okay, now we let you decide what you wish to do.
Yeah.
That's a recommendation.
Right.
You decide as an individual what's best for you. That in itself, I thought, well, that set off a ton of lawsuits based on the facts that more people are infected, probably infected today. Now, it shows a fewer infections. But remember, back a year ago, people weren't taking, they weren't doing the self-testing.
Right, yeah.
Back a year ago, it right. was everybody being tested was being tested, so it was all being documented.
And virtually no one who is self-testing is reporting that
exactly.
to a doctor. In fact, right. I don't even think a doctor's office would do anything about it if they weren't right. in control of the testing.
So the belief is that the infection rate is much greater.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that make lawsuits even easier? And we'll get to this particular lawsuit and just wonder if this is successful, how many more lawsuits will happen?
Oh, man.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. And if you can't listen overnight, listen when you want to the show. All right, a group of nearly 500 healthcare workers is slated to receive a $10 million payout in a first-of-a-kind settlement challenging the hospital's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Expect this to spread all across the country.
Yeah, yeah, it will.
A coalition of workers at North Shore University Health Systems in Illinois, filed their suit in October of 21, alleging the healthcare facility was illegally refusing to grant religious exemptions to the mandate. The July 29th settlement agreement by the state's Northern District Court means 473 current and former healthcare workers are soon to receive compensation for being denied religious exemptions from the healthcare system's vaccine requirement. Liberty Counsel, the legal group representing 13 plaintiffs, said the settlement should serve as a strong warning to employers across the nation that they cannot refuse to accommodate those with sincere religious objections to force vaccination mandates. According to the statement from the group, anyone who lost a job due to their inability to comply with the mandate is eligible to receive $25,000, and any of the 13 plaintiffs involved in the suit are eligible for an additional $20,000, meaning they would receive $45,000 in total. The Liberty Counsel said workers who eventually received the vaccine despite raising religious objection would be eligible for another $3,000 in compensation. Final payouts will be dependent on how many workers apply for the money. Additionally, anyone who was fired because of their refusal to get vaccinated based on sincerely held religious beliefs will be eligible for reemployment by the healthcare system. The agreement also sets aside $2 million for the attorney's fees.
Yeah. Hmm. You're going to see more of those.
And, yeah, I think you are, yes.
And, I mean, they may already be in motion right now, but, I mean, in terms of, I think, awards that are given, I think you're going to see more. And we talked about that then. You know, we questioned how many lawsuits will you see in general. Or against employers and you know, we can look at all the data now as we've been able to get the rear view perspective, the 2020 on this, and the data shows it wasn't really the pandemic as much as it was the policies created as a result of the pandemic.
Yep. And you know, when you look at the policies and the policies where people remember, you couldn't go out to the parks. The public parks were closed.
Yeah.
And I think it was Johns Hopkins that looked at that and said, that caused more people to be infected with the virus.
Right.
Because more people then were in the homes around other human beings for longer periods of time. Therefore, in contact with more of the virus than they would be if they would have been outdoors.
Remember Tom Brady when he first went to Florida?
He got busted.
Yeah, he got busted being in the park.
Yeah.
He's like, what? You can't be outside. You can't be in the park. You're standing too close to the ground. I mean, it was stupid. And expect that you're going to see more and more awards for people who are claiming damage here. That's going to happen. It'll be interesting to watch.
And I wonder whether, again, the CDC decision, when you have more people infected now than you did last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the official numbers don't show that, but I think the CDC readily agrees that more people are infected and have been infected now and over the last couple of months than were a year ago. And as we had said before the news at the top of the hour, that's because most people are doing home testing.
Yes.
And right. So those aren't reported to the government. And so it could be 5 times, 6 times, 7 times higher. Now, we know that the death rate is not as great because of it, but the infections are just, greater than they were back then. Will lawyers look at, and I don't know, I'm not a civil litigator, but will lawyers look at that and say, ah, okay, we can take and we can use that. And what about when you talk about the schools that were closed and children really weren't the ones that would be affected by it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are some school districts out there still now saying if you're vaccinated, you can't go to school. I think Washington is one of them. I think D.C. is one of them. There's been a story on that. Well, wait a minute. If they can't. I see the Camp Lejeune TV spot every 5 seconds on the air. Mm-hmm. And where did this come from? And then I saw the government had made a settlement of a certain amount of billions of dollars for that. And so the lawyers are jumping on it like crazy looking for more people.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, in another 2 or 3 months, am I going to see these on TV on a consistent basis? Because we know how the trial lawyers go after this. And will they look at this from the Liberty Institute, this lawsuit, and is there now blood in the water because there's been one successful lawsuit?
I would argue that there was probably blood in the water from the beginning. But, yeah, this certainly gives the others momentum, right?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
So, the other story that hit yesterday was in Minneapolis. The labor agreement of the teachers in Minneapolis, that the labor agreement's intent is to protect underrepresented populations and keep the district's predominantly white staff from becoming more homogenous, a report said, which means if they have layoffs, the white teachers go first. The agreement states that teachers of color may be exempted from district-wide layoffs outside seniority order. Watch the lawsuits on that one. Big time.
Outside of seniority order.
Yes. May be exempted, according to Minnesota outlet Alpha News, which published language of the contract on Sunday.
You're basing your layoffs
on race.
On race.
Yes. That's
an easy lawsuit.
It's an easy.
It's a violation.
Yeah, it's an easy federal government win. Yes, a federal court win.
Yeah,
it may be an easy Minnesota state win.
Yeah, right.
But definitely, there's a federal lawsuit there.
Right.
So they may do it. They're not going to win that one.
Wow. Just the idea that they think they would. That they think that would stand up in court. But that's the world we live in today.
As we continue with the Democrats promoting the Inflation Reduction Act, we'll find that audio cut. That has to be the audio cut of the day. We'll play here after the bottom of the hour.
Yeah,
the congressman. So, what exact part of the bill will actually solve that problem of inflation? Next question.
Yeah.
the Economist YouGov poll also that came out showing that only 12% of Americans believe it will reduce inflation. I have never seen this in my life. I've never seen two things that give me hope. Two things. There's a lot of things that don't give me hope, but two things that give me hope was last year, last year, September.
Yeah.
Is when all of a sudden when the Republicans were talking about getting rid of the extra child tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Child tax credit.
Right.
And it was like, oh, they're going to get killed because of that. They can't do that. They can't do that. They can't do that. And all of a sudden you saw the majority of Americans said, no, we don't believe you should continue it. It's a waste of money. And they tied the spending to inflation way back then. And so when I saw that, I went, wow, that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Americans have tied government spending to inflation. Uh-oh. That's not good for the Democrats.
And the bill hasn't even been signed into law yet.
No.
And it gets, it's just hammered, eviscerated in the polls. We've seen this before. When something is on the floor, right, being debated, and then it might kill a bill. But to have something that just passed, that the White House will be celebrating it when the president signs it, and have it this low in the approval or confidence numbers is extremely rare.
Washington Post. Post reports the legislation will have a negligible effect on inflation. The legislation, here's a quote, the legislation won't directly address some of the main drivers of surging prices from gas and food to rents and restaurant meals. The Post said, with inflation raging at near the highest level in four decades, Congress is poised to approve President Joe Biden's signature Inflation Reduction Act. Its title raises a tantalizing question. Will the measure actually tame the price spikes that have inflicted hardships on the American households? Economic analysis of the proposal suggests the answer is likely no. Not anytime soon, anyway.
Huh.
There you go. That was in the Washington Post. Now, that goes back a couple of days ago, but still it was.
Yeah.
I mean, they printed it yesterday, but that would have been because the House passed it, what, Friday? So they actually took it from an article from a couple of days ago on that. So, yeah, it's just it's amazing. They keep going forward. They're losing that. I've never seen the Democrats lose a spending bill that big.
No.
I've never seen the polls.
No.
Across the board and where Democrats support.
They don't even have close to their core on board.
No, they don't have half the. They don't even have, if you take the average of the polls, they don't have 25% of Democrats that believe that it reduces inflation.
No.
And the two polls out, one was 20% of Democrats believe it will decrease inflation. The other said 25. The average would be 22.5. So you don't even have a quarter of your base that believes what you're trying to sell to the American public. And they're out there trying to sell it every single day. I swear it's just they just keep the more they've said it 1,000 times it's going to reduce inflation, and they think that if they say it 1,001 times, 1,002 times, that somehow they'll convince people. People have been convinced. They don't believe the Democrats on this, and no, that's really important, because if you say you're going to solve inflation and that's affecting Americans more than anything, and the public doesn't believe you, and the bill isn't even law yet, because the president hasn't signed it yet.
No. Yeah, it's
that's bad.
It really is horrible. And you know, you again look at the dynamics here. If the confidence wasn't there on that, then why didn't the rank and file Democrat? Why weren't they outraged? Why weren't they vocal? They weren't.
No. Every single Democrat in Congress voted to increase inflation, because that's what it'll do over the next couple of years, slightly increase inflation, and to tax all Americans.
Yep.
During a recession and inflation, stagnation. That's unprecedented. Every single one voted for it. There are no moderates in the Democratic Party.
No.
866-90-RED-EYE.
A new initiative designed to incentivize conservation practices that improve nutrient management. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, making the announcement Monday in Michigan, says the initiative will be based within the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
We're going to put $40 million of resources that we have available and target those resources through a regional conservation partnership program effort to increase better nutrient management around the country.
The secretary adds additional resources at the start of the new fiscal year will be combined with the nutrient management investment to boost NRCS programs and their support of producer-based conservation practices.
With additional resources in EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, and both the incentives in the contract program and additional money in the Conservation Stewardship Program, CSP, to be able to allow farmers the ability and the resources to be able to do an even better job of nutrient management.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, Red Eye Radio calls the race in Wyoming.
Yes, we will call it for not Liz Cheney.
I'm reading this here from Jonathan Tobin, the Federalist. Cheney's Wyoming fiasco is prelude to a presidential run. One of the CNN analysts said, nobody's going to want her. Democrats aren't going to want her.
Who's going to want her?
Once they use her, what, you think Democrats are going to sit there and say, we're going to vote for Liz Cheney?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. You know, could she run as an independent? What party? I don't know.
Could Biden put her in some, I don't know.
No.
Ambassador position?
No. No. Well, I mean, he could, but he won't.
Yeah,
you know, it's look. She may be off the panel by the time they come to any conclusions about Trump on January 6th.
Well, there won't be a panel. There, you know, once the Republicans are in charge of that, it's going
to
change.
That's right. She would be.
There won't be a panel to begin with.
Well,
so
right.
Yeah.
If the Republicans didn't take Congress, she would still not be on the panel.
No, she won't be.
But when you look again, the Senate is still up for grabs. But if you look at the House, that seems to be still. And you take into consideration, because most people believe the change in the polls is basically abortion. That's been the change. Hmm. It isn't gas prices. It's the abortion issue, maybe a little bit gas prices. But that's the thing that's given Biden that temporary reprieve, which is still 15 to 20 points on average that he is underwater, which is huge.
Yeah.
But he's no longer 20 to 25 points average down. And that movement may be a little bit gas prices, but also the abortion issue out there.
Yeah. I forget who it was the other day. Saying that he expects a Republican thinking, saying that he expects that the Republicans will take the Senate and we'll gain three, possibly four seats. And I thought, whoa, well, tap the brakes.
Again, it could. I can't read this election.
Look, it could happen. It could be a wave that we're not seeing. I just don't want to.
But call it.
I mean, we're good with calling Wyoming right now, but we're not. we're not good with calling these eight toss-up states in the Senate. So, yeah. You know, how's that going to go down? Fetterman, by the way, in Pennsylvania, making his first speech and appearance yesterday after his stroke.
The development of conservative talk. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, a couple of audio cuts of the day. First one is Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, who is talking about, you know, how the Reduce Inflation Act is going to work and help reduce inflation. Then he is asked, well, what are the specifics? What part of it? We'll work on lowering inflation. Listen to this.
As soon as the act goes into effect, I hope that all of the provisions will begin to work. I know that those who've been blaming President Biden for the inflation going up are now giving President Biden all the credit for inflation going down. So we're moving things in the right direction already.
Yeah, and what parts of the bill do you think will quickly work on that specifically?
Next question.
Wouldn't answer the question.
Next question.
Couldn't tell you which part of it will reduce inflation. As we know, the gasoline prices came down.
Mm-hmm.
Core inflation went up. Mm-hmm. Electricity went up drastic, big time. Food went up. It is the perverted sense of awe that we always talk about because we can't believe they keep promoting the same thing as they lose it so bad. Think about this. The president is going to sign a bill. Remember when the agreement came about?
Mm-hmm.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When the agreement came about and the celebration that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, this is a guy who's finally accomplishing something, except for Nancy Pelosi's delusional comments the other day when the House signed it. Nobody buys it. No one. Look how quickly it changed, and I've never seen this in my time of covering politics since 1989. I have never, ever seen a bill that was passed by Democrats that taxed and spent money that had this low support in the polls by Democrats that didn't believe that it was going to do the Democrats came out and said, well, it's not going to do what they claim it's going to do. They picked a title for it. And by the way, it's really interesting because for some reason it's back to the inflation reduction bill as if they've decided, well, no, look, let's go back to it. If we keep pushing it, we've pushed it 50,000 times, maybe one more time is what will convince people that it's going to lower inflation.
And the media is like, are you sure you don't want to say climate change tax and health care bill?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because we do. We're trying to help you out, guys.
And look, so here you have the president still going to sign it and then speak on it. The Republicans are salivating over this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they're, yeah.
They're going, well, this is, I mean, politically, they're not happy the bill's being passed.
Right.
But they're sitting there going, these people are just, they're nuts. Inflation is the number one issue. They created a bill that called it the Reduction of Inflation Act. They can't even convince 25% of Democrats that it reduces inflation. They lost the tax. It's not going to increase taxes at all. They've lost that. They lost the inflation part of it. And nobody really cares about the climate change part.
No, because nobody it's not really going to do anything about climate change.
Yeah. Nobody really buys into that. At all. So You know, that's one bad thing. The other bad thing that came out was the GOP report on Afghanistan yesterday. And the media is going to want to try to get away from it quickly, the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But they were pounding on it yesterday. You had, well, let me just play this from CNN, just a short audio clip here. This is really telling.
I think a lot of Democrats are looking at this report and also taking it seriously. And in some ways, they're cringing because the White House is circulating its own memo that doesn't really accept responsibility for the disastrous withdrawal and tries to kind of spin it in a positive way. And Democrats on the Hill are just like shaking their head privately, like, why is this our message right now?
Yeah, they were. John Kirby was out there.
Yeah.
Talking about, oh, we've never been in a better position with Afghanistan. I mean, it's completely and totally delusional to the point of even on CNN, they're saying the Democrat members of Congress are cringing over this.
Well, because, you know, the problem is you can try and abstract your way through a climate change bill. But when it comes to Afghanistan, everything is clear. And when it comes to national security, things get real very quickly. And the Democrats in Congress know you can't sell this.
It's really bad.
You know, I mean, I really do believe that they are confounded and are wondering why the liberal media isn't, and liberals in Congress aren't carrying the water for this president even more. But it's because they and if they are confounded, it's because they have zero self-awareness. They don't understand how badly this president botched that exit.
By the way, it was Biden spokesperson Ned Price that said this. Listen to this here.
All right.
Here we go. Okay.
Many of us here at the department and across the government and millions of Americans and Afghans alike are mindful of today's meaning as the 20-year-long U.S. military mission in Afghanistan ended nearly 1 year ago. Ending the longest war in American history was never going to be easy. But 1 year later, we are in a stronger position as a country.
And that has Democrats cringing. Democrats cringing after the GOP report. And then, for example, it's just
just buy into your own hype, I guess.
And well, let's throw on this again would be MSNBC. Okay. All right, this is a Washington Post Craig Whitlock on MSNBC now. Understand? Okay, let's see what they say.
You know, Jonathan, a year later, I think the American people are still really trying to come to grips with this idea that they lost the war to the Taliban. This is the longest armed conflict in United States history. And I think people are so haunted by those images of our withdrawal by the U.S. military planes trying to evacuate people a year ago. And this is a very painful moment in U.S. history. And our political leaders really haven't come to grips with it either. As you know, the U.S. Congress several months ago approved the creation of a commission to try and figure out what happened in Afghanistan, what went wrong, not just at the end. And certainly the Biden administration owns the failures of the evacuation.
Man, it's not Congress. It was all the Biden administration.
Well, I mean, he is the commander in chief. You know, and I think that's it. I mean, I don't know. They have zero self-awareness as to how badly that went down. How horrific it was.
Yeah, they talk about it in a positive way.
And they want to look back as if it was a good thing. Practically celebrate the exit of Afghanistan.
Quite delusional.
They're delusional and they don't understand the last thing you should be talking about is the botched exit of Afghanistan.
And then in one more audio cut here. We'll play because this is the Republicans, you know, putting this out, which, of course, is all Obama administration officials. So they're taking full advantage of the anniversary and the report that came out.
This Afghan government was going to collapse rapidly because of the way in which we got out.
I think of John Kennedy and the Bay of Pigs. It unfolded quickly, and the president thought that everything would be fine, and that was not the case.
It has created a global crisis, quite frankly.
You cannot defend the execution here. This has been a disaster.
Well, they clearly were caught off guard by the events over the last 72 hours.
How his decision was made to withdraw, but then its execution, which has been so far catastrophic.
Our national security is threatened.
This is a Dunkirk moment, or perhaps a Saigon moment.
This tragedy was completely preventable.
Nobody wants the Saigon image, and obviously we ended up with another Saigon image.
It's kind of like the Dunkirk evacuation.
We do have to regard the recent turn of events as creating a real risk of another terrorist organization, whether it's ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda, trying to reestablish a foothold in Afghanistan.
It's a really rough time. It didn't need to be this way.
The fact that there was little to no real planning done.
I'm left with some grave question in my mind about his ability, speaking about the president, to lead our nation as commander-in-chief, to have read this so wrong, or even worse, to have understood what was likely to happen and not care.
Admit the mistakes that were made.
So they were behind the curve from the beginning of the announcement.
The situation is absolutely heartbreaking. It is tragic. It's disastrous.
And the execution in particular does not speak to competency.
All of those Democrats, by the way, all those voices that you heard.
Yeah.
All Democrats from the Obama and Biden administration officials. Just, wow. Not a good day at all. And as we have stated, the worst thing is he didn't follow any of the advice that he was given by the military people.
Right.
And then he lied about it.
Yep.
He lied to the American people about. And I don't know of a time when a president lied when every general told him one thing and he went to the American people and lied about what the generals told him. That to me is, I know it's unprecedented since I've been covering politics. I don't know a time when, because when they testified and every single general said, no, this is the advice we gave him. Every single general. And it shows you, I mean, it's a microcosm of, well, no, it's a macrocosm of everything that we have seen, since then. It's the same thing we're going to see in a couple of days, that after 2 weeks, well, after the first couple of days of the media and the Democrats celebrating this great Inflation Reduction Act, and now 2 weeks later, it's completely in shambles. I mean, it's been just eviscerated and incinerated, and you can't get 25% of Democrats to agree that it will reduce inflation. Nobody buys it. Everybody knows it's a lie, and Biden's going to get up there when he signs the bill and talk about how great this is in reducing inflation.
And it's, again, this you're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You're just going through the motions.
Sure.
I don't get it.
And 13 American service members died.
Yeah.
Because of his lies.
And they're acting like there's reason for celebration.
Yep. Wow. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, I guess what we're looking to see is what the federal judge is going to do, whether he's going to allow release of the affidavit. One thing I don't know, who is the other party in the affidavit? Is that still the Judicial Watch?
I
is, is,
believe so, but I mean, once it's been denied, I mean, I don't know what recourse they have.
They didn't deny it yet, though.
Yeah. Well, no, the DOJ, but once the judge, if the judge denies it, I don't know if there's any recourse for Judicial Watch beyond that, but there might be for Trump. I don't know. I don't know how you appeal something like that if the, you know, if the motion is denied, I guess. It's over at that point. But Trump has been very clear. Look, release it all. Unredacted, he said yesterday. And I don't know, because we don't know what's in it. We don't know what the affidavit actually says.
No, we don't know what the obstruction of justice is about.
Well, and
there's guesses, but there's
what criminal investigation are you talking about?
Yeah.
The DOJ says it would compromise a criminal investigation. Well, wait a minute. This was about the Presidential Records Act,
which is a civil violation.
Right. And a very simple process, which is to say that, and President Trump yesterday in an interview with Fox Digital said, basically implied that, you know, he wants to make sure that the tone is calmed down and that he is willing to cooperate in the whole thing. That's what he expressed in the interview. If that is true, and he has reached out to the DOJ, which has been reported elsewhere, by the way, and they're willing to do that, then tell me what they can't work out on the Presidential Records Act.
And nothing.
Tell me what crime, because is the DOJ really going to pursue anything on the Espionage Act in terms of a crime? You're going to indict a former president on that?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.